Today's gospel, we hear about the cleansing of the temple when Christ made a whip out of cords and drove out the money changers and cleansed the temple of our Lord, which was supposed to be a house of prayer and not a marketplace. I think this scene is a good Lenten analogy for us, because when we were baptized, each one of us became a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, what needs to be cleansed within us? You know, if the Lord were to go through our souls, what would he want to drive out with a whip? You know, what's not pleasing within us to our Lord? And of course, the short answer would be sin. You know, any type of sin is not pleasing to our Lord. So I wanted to look a little bit, do an examination of conscience basically today, and look at a little bit about sin. Of course, there's two types of sin. There's mortal and there's venial sin. You know, mortal sin cuts us off entirely from a relationship with God because it's something that's very offensive to our Lord. And so it results in the loss of sanctifying grace, the grace that we received at our baptism. And it's sanctifying grace that enables us to enter into heaven. And so if someone commits a mortal sin, they must repent and go to the sacrament of confession in order to attain salvation. Venial sin is lesser sin than mortal sin. It weakens our relationship with God. It doesn't separate us entirely. But the danger is, if we're not careful with venial sin over time, it can lead us to mortal sin. You know, as we look at, do an examination of conscience, and we look at sin, the purpose isn't to condemn anyone or to make us feel bad. But it's important to inform our consciences. You know, morality, you know, especially if we commit a mortal sin, you know, that's a red flag that there's something wrong in our moral lives. You know, there's something that's seriously wrong that we need to reorient. And so moral guidelines help us to become better people. You know, so we should always look at them as something positive. You know, just like our parents taught us right and wrong when we were children. You know, so too, morality helps to guide us through life. And, you know, if we are good, honest people trying to serve our Lord, we would want to know if we're doing something that's opposed to his will. Or we would want to know if there's something we should avoid, you know, something we might not be doing now, but if we inform our conscience as well, helps us to follow the proper path in the future. So we should keep in mind the words of Scripture, the truth will set us free. You know, it guides us and it teaches us. It can be difficult for us to face sin, especially if it uncovers something that we might not be aware of. But if that leads us to repentance and to the sacrament of confession, then it brings us back to life and it brings healing. So there's three criteria for a mortal sin. The first one is knowledge. We have to know that what we're doing is wrong. Second is free consent, meaning we do it deliberately, not by accident. You know, there's a difference between accidentally hitting someone with a baseball and doing it on purpose. So a mortal sin has to be deliberate. And it has to be grave matter, meaning something that is serious. And the church teaches us what's grave matter and what's not grave matter. So if a sin doesn't meet those three criteria, if we don't give full consent, or if it's not something that's grave matter, if it's lesser, then it'd be a venial sin. Where do we get these mortal sins? Some of them come from St. Paul. He gives us two lists, one in Galatians 5 and then 1 Corinthians 6. He lists things and he says, people who do these will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Others come from the Ten Commandments, which we heard in the first reading today. You know, those are the terms of our covenant. And so God says, if you obey these terms, you'll get the blessings. And so, you know, these are things that we are morally obligated to do in order to attain salvation. So this is a partial list of mortal sins. It's not absolutely complete, but it's a good starting point. The first commandment, worship God alone. Sins against the first commandment that would be grave matter would be idolatry, which would be false worship. Magic, like getting into Wicca or any forms of magic, the occult, things like Ouija boards and things like that would be serious matter. Atheism, openly denying the existence of God, or false worship. You know, if someone went to Buddhist or Islam or some other religion, that would be grave matter. The second commandment, keep holy the Lord's name. Using the name of God, Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary or any of the saints in an offensive way, you know, out of anger or frustration, any way that's not reverent and in prayer or in an appropriate way of talking about our Lord, or to break an oath that we've made in the Lord's name would be grave matter. The third commandment, keep holy the Lord's Day. Missing Mass on Sunday is grave matter, or on a holy day of obligation, unless there's a legitimate reason. If someone has a serious sickness, if they're in the hospital, you know, someone who's an emergency room worker who has to be in the ER, those would be legitimate excuses. Sports on Sunday morning would not be a legitimate excuse. Fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. Defiance against the authority of your parents, or willful and open disrespect towards your parents, or any other legitimate authority figure, a police officer, a teacher, a religious figure, someone that we should have respect for, or neglecting our parents in their old age, you know, if we fail to care for them or show them respect, that would be grave matter. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, certainly murder, causing deliberate physical harm to somebody, like getting in a fight and, you know, causing serious harm. Abortion, euthanasia, drug abuse, or deliberate intoxication would be things that harm physical health that are grave matter. Hatred, deliberately wishing evil on someone or deliberately harboring hatred towards someone would be grave matter. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The sins of lust are generally grave matter. Looking at pornography, producing pornography, any form of sexual activity, alone or with others, with the exception of a man and a woman who have a proper marriage, within marriage, getting married outside the church, contraception or sterilization meant to prevent the conception of children would be grave matter, in vitro fertilization. Can a thought be grave matter? It could. It could be mortal or it could be venial. Thoughts of hatred or thoughts of lust, if we give full and total consent in our mind to those thoughts, and if what we're thinking about doing would be a mortal sin if we actually did it, then those thoughts are grave matter. You know, just as our Lord said, you know, if we're thinking hatred towards someone and envisioning causing killing someone in our mind, we've already committed murder in our hearts. So it is possible, if we give complete consent to a thought, for that to be mortal as well. If it's not full consent, then it'd be venial. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. Theft could be mortal or venial, depending on how serious the theft is. You know, stealing a pencil from someone's probably venial. If you steal a loaf of bread from a poor family, that'd be mortal. Cheating, same mortal or venial, depends on how severe it is. Defrauding labor of their wages would be a serious matter. Eighth commandment, shall not bear false witness. Lying could be mortal or venial. It depends on how serious the lie is and who we're lying about. You know, if we're lying about someone to destroy the reputation, or lying about God would be pretty serious. Ninth, tenth commandments, envy or greed. You know, if those lead to harm to another person, those would certainly be grave matter. Sins against faith, heresy would be openly denying a teaching that's revealed by God, either in Scripture or through the church. That would be grave matter. Schism, which would be breaking away from the Catholic Church and going to another church. Voluntarily denying the faith or voluntarily doubting it would be grave matter. That's not someone who's honestly struggling to learn more about the faith or struggling with the teacher, teaching of the church, but someone who's deliberately doubting the faith. Other things that can be grave matter, making a bad confession. So when we go to the sacrament of confession, if we're repentant, we should be sorry for all of our sins. If we deliberately withhold a mortal sin, that would make a bad confession. So that'd be grave matter. So let's say we had six mortal sins and we confess five of them and we say, I'm not saying this other one. It's too embarrassing, or I don't want the priest to know, or for whatever reason. That'd be an abuse to the sacrament of confession. So that'd be grave matter. It's not someone who honestly forgets a sin, but someone who deliberately withholds one. And then the final thing I'd mention today is receiving the Eucharist in a state of sin. So if we've committed a mortal sin, and we know we've committed one, we need to go to the sacrament of confession first before receiving communion. So if we go ahead and receive communion in a state of sin, that's an abuse of the sacrament, so that would be grave matter as well. So we should always make sure we approach the Eucharist in a state of grace. And so, and as I mentioned, the purpose of morality is not just to put a bunch of burdens upon us, but to inform our conscience and teach us what's truly harmful so that we know what to avoid, so we can flourish as human beings, and so that we can live in a way that's pleasing to our Lord. And it can be difficult and hard to face our sins, but if it leads to repentance, then it's a positive thing. So just as our Lord cleansed the temple in today's gospel, you know, Lent is a time for us to allow the Lord to cleanse our souls so that we can be a more fitting temple to the Lord. And especially if we have fallen into serious sin, it's a time for us to seek the sacrament of confession with repentance so we can be brought back to life and we can be more pleasing to our Father in heaven.